Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning together Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chof Tes, the 29th chapter of Divrei Hayomim. Yes, we are getting towards the end. There are 36 chapters in Divrei Hayomim Beis. This perek is on the topic of Chizkiyahu or Yechizkiyahu's spiritual revolution. It is 36 psukim long and the parallel parsha is found somewhat in Melachim Beis Perek Yud Ches. The story of Yechizkiyahu Melech appears both in Melachim Beis, Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Vov, and also here in Divrei Hayomim, and we have many different details. It's interesting that Sefer Melachim and Sefer Yeshayahu focus mainly on the battle against Assyria, his sickness, and the aftermath. Our Perek gives us an insight into some of the matters which aren't as clearly articulated in the other Svarim, and that's about the spiritual revolution which Chizkiyahu Melech brings about. Notice that in our Perek, he is called Yechizkiyahu. We see that there's different discrepancies in terms of his name, but it's the same as Chizkiyah or Chizkiyahu as well. We're going to stick with Yechizkiyahu because that's the way that it is described in Sefer Divrei Hayomim. The first two psukim are our introduction. We're told that Yechizkiyahu is 25 years old when he assumes the throne, and he rules for 29 years. We hear about his mother's name, who is Aviah, the daughter of Zechariyahu, and we're told that he does the right thing, like David HaMelech did. Who is his mother? So the Da'at Mikra points out that Zechariyahu, that's his mother's father, is in fact a pretty common name, but it could be that he's also from the line of Yehoyada HaKohen, who was in the times of Yoash. Seven Yoash was a tremendously spiritually positive influence in the Malchus Yisrael. The Chidah does point out, quoting Chazal, that she was instrumental in moving him away from the legacy of his father, Achaz. We now move into what the first thing he does. So we're told from Sukkim Gimel to Yud Aleph in this section how he encourages the Levium and the Kohanim to purify the Migdash. He turns to all of them. It's Bachodesh HaRishon, in the first month, in the first year, and he opens up the doors to the house of the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Hashem, and he strengthens those doors, and he brings all of the Kohanim, the Levium, to the Mizrach, to the courtyard, the outer courtyard, and he speaks to them, and he says, we need to clean, to purify and to clean this house, and you take out the impurities from the Kodesh, because our fathers did the wrong thing. They essentially rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they left the Beis HaMikdash, turning the nape of their neck towards it. So there was no, we'll call it, face-to-face relationship with Hashem. We turned our back on Hashem. They closed the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They no longer brought the sacrifices, the incense, the karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. And because of that, our enemies took advantage of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent our enemies, and that's why our fathers and our fathers fell in battle, and our sisters and brothers and our daughters and sons were taken into captivity. I want, says Yechizkiyahu, I'm going to make a covenant, Lichrois Bris LaHashem Elokei Yisrael, to make the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now my children, he turns to the Kohanim and the Levium, who is going to help me serve and to be true to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by serving in the Beis HaMikdash. This is a very powerful, very emotive speech that he gives to them. So just a few details to notice. The doors being closed. He's opening the doors. So the Malbim points out that during the days of Achaz, basically the Beis HaMikdash was no longer in service towards the end of his days. And he in fact cut off part of the doors and part of the Kalim, which now needs to be fixed, because he was sending that as the money he needed to keep paying to Assyria, even though that didn't really help him so much. What is he asking to be removed from the Beis HaMikdash? The words he uses is Voitziu es hanida mina kodesh. Take out the nida, which is describing either something to be pushed aside, or the idea of some degree of impurity that's being described over here. What is he referring to? So the Malbim explains that it means to say that there's two aspects of what's wrong in the Beis HaMikdash right now. The one is avodah zara, that's pagan worship. And the other one is basic impurity as well. So the nida is coming from the expression of being pushed out. It needs to be removed from the sanctuary itself. What is the nature of the bris? He wants to make a new covenant with Hashem. How does that work? So the Malbim says he's not making a new testament. He's renewing what already was, but we had reneged upon. And he quotes a pasuk in Devarim, where the Torah says, "Batzar lecha umatzaucho kol advar ma'ele." When all these terrible things happen to you in the klanos, in the curses, then ba'acharis hayamim, at the end of days, "Veshavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata v'kola. You're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and listen to His voice. That's what's happening. He's saying, I want to fix what's in the relationship. I want to make this better. So what actually happens? So we hear about this from Sukkim Yud Beis to Yotess. We hear about the cleaning of the Beis Hamikdash. So we hear about the leaders. He's given the leaders by names of all the different leaders of the Kohuna, from Merari, from Kahas, from Gershon. We hear about the different leaders of the Kohanim and the Levim who take up the lead, and they start doing this. They enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and they take out all the impurity, and they go down and bring it to the Nachal Kidron, to the Kidron Valley outside Yerushalayim. They start on the 1st of Nisan, of the first month, and they finish on the 8th of the month, and then they clean it for another 8 days, and on the 16th of the month, that's when they complete it, at which time they report to Yechizkiyahu HaMelech, or Chizkiyahu, and they tell him that we have now fixed all the vessels, everything is in order, everything is ready, we've cleaned everything that was destroyed and made impure by Achaz. A few basic questions you'll notice over here, and that is in Pasuk Tezayin, it describes how they went lifnima, inwards. Rashi points out that only the Kohanim could actually enter the sanctuary, the Levim were cleaning outside the sanctuary, because there's different domains for different people. Why the Kidron Valley? So the Kidron Valley is directly outside of the Yerushalayim. If you, today, standing by the Kotel, exit through the Shar HaAshpot and look down into the valley, that is the Kidron Valley, adjacent to which is the Har HaZeisim, the burial plot, the ancient burial plot, a burial grounds of Har HaZeisim. So it's a burial area. And also, as you'll notice earlier on, in the times of Asa, that was a place where they burnt impure things in Perek Tezov in Divrei Hayamim. So it is a place where he's taking out of Yerushalayim all these negative influences. What's the significance of the dates? Like, why did it take from the 1st to the 8th and then the 8th to the 16th of the month? So Rashi says there were all kinds of pagan images which were inscribed on the walls, engraved on the walls of the Mikdash, which they needed to remove. And it took a long time to fix up, not just what was inside the Beis HaMikdash, but the very form of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Malbim points out that, in fact, they had to clean the Beis HaMikdash, but then they also needed to purify it. And because the level of impurity was so deep, it needed to be purified with Efer Para, with the dust or the ashes of the Para Adumah. That being said, that process is a 7-day process in which the ashes mixed with the water are sprinkled upon the substance or the person being purified on the 3rd and the 7th day. So they cleaned on the 1st of Nisan, they spent the 7 days purifying, and then they needed to purify themselves, those who were involved in the Avodah, afterwards independently. So that was what brought them to the 16th of the month. In fact, the Malbim quotes the Yerushalmi, he says that when they were cleaning and they removed the Mizbech, the altar, the Assyrian designed altar, they found the skull of Aruna underneath it, and I believe that's referring to Uriah HaKohen, who was the priest who Achaz hired to make this pagan Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. So they found this skull under the Mizbeach, which also impurified them. So therefore they had this process of purification, both of the Mikdash and the people, leading them to the 16th of the month. We close our perek by hearing from Sukkim Chof to Lamed Vav about when they now re-inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very beautiful description how Yechizkiel gets up very early in the morning, he gathers all the Sarei Ha'ir, all the officers, they bring seven bulls and seven rams and seven lambs and Sefirei Yizim Shiva, now these young goats. Why are they bringing this? Lechatos ala mamlecha v'ala mikdash v'al Yehuda. On the sins of the nation, on the Mikdash and of Yehuda, and he turns to all of them and he readies them to do the shechting. They do all the parts of the service. They catch the blood. They put it on the mizbeach. All the regular parts of the avodah are done right now, and the people are watching and do their smicha on these chatois, on these they put their hands or at least by an agent on these chatois, on these korban, these sin offerings. And we're told that as they're about to bring the oila, then they set up with all the instruments, and as they start bringing the korban oila, the burnt offering, then the songs begin, and the accompanying the karbonos were in play, and everybody bows down, and it's a very beautiful, beautiful scene. afterwards, Yechezkiel gets up and he turns to them and he says to them to sing all the songs of praise of David HaMelech as it was in the old days. And he turns to the people and he says, now you should bring karbanos yourself. And he tells them, you can bring zvachim and todos, and then Nidiv Lev can bring olos. So he gives different suggestions as to what the people can bring, and that's what they do. We hear a whole list of the amount of karbanos that the people bring that day, and we hear that there aren't enough kohanim to help do all the avoid to strip the skin off of the burnt offerings. So the Leviim helped them out as well, because the Leviim were yishrei levav, they were straight of heart, and there were more of them who were holy who could do this work, and everybody is very happy with this. Vayismach Yechizkiyahu v'chol ha'am, everybody is very happy. Ad al heichin ha'elokim la'am, that Hashem allowed them to prepare them. It was a instantaneous, it was a very fast moment of transition. So a few things worthwhile noticing over here is, why are they bringing these karbanos chatas, these sin offerings? So Rashi points out that some of these karbanos are regular karbanos chatas, but some of them, like the tzafirei izim, like the little goats, are a hayra'a shah, which means to say, just for this moment over here, you won't see other examples of these across Torah and Nach. The Malbim does point out that, in fact, these are modeled, most of these karbanos are modeled after what's called a par helem davar shel avodah zarah. When people make a mistake by serving avodah zarah, but not intentionally, but just because they were misguided. This is at the end of Parashas Shlach Lecha in the Torah. It talks about this type of chatas, and that's what's being brought over here. Why seven of them? Because at this point in time in history, just during the reign of Ahaz, when he invited in Assyria, Ashur, Assyria actually exiled a number of the tribes of the north. So Reuven and Gad and Manasseh on the Transjordan are gone. Zebulun and Naphtali have also been exiled in the very north, leaving only seven Shvatim, only seven tribes left. They are bringing seven karbanos because they are trying to atone for the remaining Shvatim, each as their own entity, as their own state, essentially. Notice that they're also doing it vicariously for those in the north, even though those in the north are not here to be part of the ceremony as well. You also see, as the Ralbag points out, in the singing over here, you'll notice that the Leviim are singing and playing instruments, whereas the Kohanim are only playing trumpets. So you also see that there's only the songs and the instruments for the Karbanos, so not for the Menachos, and the Nisuch for the meal offerings and the libations. So you see a lot of interesting things about the Avodah, which the Gemara spends a lot of time commenting on based on our Perek. You'll also notice that he asks the people to bring their own karbanos, and he notes that those who have a nadiv lev will bring the olos. Those who are, you know, kind of heart, generous of heart, will give the olos. And that can mean to say that the only way a person really can bring a karban is if they are a nadiv lev. Or it could mean that the reason why those who were generous of heart were giving the olos is because a burnt offering, an olah, is completely consumed on the mizbeach. The owner does not get any part of it, unlike a toida or a zevach, which are the other options. So people differentiate themselves depending on how much they wanted to get out of the karban as well, personally as well. If you look at the numbers in this parak, we hear that ultimately 70 cattle, 100 rams, 200 lambs, 600 large cattle, 3,000 small cattle were brought, which is just under 4,000 karbanos in total. It does seem like a lot, but if you consider the population of Israel, that is a rather small amount. So this was not a huge ceremony in the renewal of the Beis HaMikdash. Yechizkiel is a very low point for the Bnei Israel, where they're starting off with, as Yechizkiel is going to raise them as well. We also hear about the fact that they're more Leviim because they are Yishrei Levav. They are more straight of heart than the Kohanim. How does that impact their numbers? So the Ralbag suggests that the Leviim perhaps were less assimilated in the previous generations than the Kohanim. There were less Kohanim who were actually serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so in the return there were more Leviim. Another possibility is there were more Leviim who were pure. Maybe some Kohanim were out of service this day because they were impure, which means the Leviim were a little more careful about their thoughts and where they went as well to ensure that they were here. And finally, we hear the last pasuk in this parak about how this was all pitom. This was sudden. What does this mean? The Malbim says that this was all hisarusa delatata, which means to say that this was all human effort. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do anything here. It was us coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as opposed to a huge miracle happening, we realize in our hearts, as we experience this, as Bnei Israel experienced this, they saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this, even though there was no miraculous fire and clouds like in previous institutions as well. One extra detail which is worth noting, and that is at the beginning of Sefer Melachim, when this is described in Perek Yud Ches and Sefer Melachim Beis, We hear about another few positive actions that Chizkiyahu also did over there, and those were he destroyed all the altars around the country, and also he ground up the copper snake, the nechashes, which Moshe Rabbeinu had made, which people had started serving, and he hid the Sefer HaRefuos, which is this book of healing, which had mystical properties because people were relying on that as some sort of omen, as some sort of a way of getting out of sickness without doing the spiritual work. So he removed all these figures that people were relying on, and we hear he also reneged upon his alliance with Assyria. Part of the reason why his father had brought, Ahaz had brought all this Avodah Zorah in was for the geopolitical interests of keeping peace with Assyria. Chizkiyahu was more interested in truth than alliances, and so therefore he broke off with those alliances. These are extra details we hear about in Sefer Melachim as part of the spiritual reformation that Chizkiyahu HaMelech is bringing. This is quite a hopeful moment in Jewish history, quite an incredible moment of bringing back what is truly meant to be brought back. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.